Now's the time. The Commandant cautions Marines to be ready to go. By Colonel Mary H. Reinwald, United States Marine Corps retired. Editor's note. The editor of the Marine Corps Gazette, Colonel Christopher Woodbridge, United States Marine Corps retired, and Colonel Reinwald, conducted an interview with General Robert B. Neller, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, on August 23, 2017, in his office in the Pentagon. Described as no-nonsense and direct by former Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, General Robert B. Neller, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, is exactly what many civilians envision when they think of a Marine general. What isn't immediately apparent to those who don't know him is how deeply the Corps' senior leader cares for his Marines. Asked what he enjoys most about serving as the 37th Commandant, General Neller responded with a wry smile, "I can help people. I can fix things." He continued, "And we can solve problems to the benefit of the Marine or their family." And General Neller has jumped right in to fix things. In a Marine Corps that has undergone significant changes in the last decade, ranging from the implementation of a variety of new technologies to addressing increased threats throughout the full spectrum of military operations to opening combat arms assignments to female Marines, it's especially appropriate to have the Corps' most senior Marine willing to make the often hard but necessary changes to fix the Corps. Stuff like promotion panels and changing the PFT and the Force Fitness Instructor Program, and some of the changes that we're going to do with entry-level training. I think success is going to be a series of small changes, which in the collective sense are going to overall make us a better Marine Corps, General Neller said. He is quick to remind all Marines that each has a role to play in ensuring the Corps' future success, as the lessons learned, whether on the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan or in the cyber world, are learned the right way, not necessarily the hard way. A recent visit with Steve Hansen, the coach of the All Blacks, New Zealand's national rugby team, had the Commandant reflecting on some interesting remarks made by the team's leaders. "One thing that really stuck with me, I don't want to lose to learn. I think a lot of us think that we have to have a failure. We always learn from a failure, but I think the sign of a good organization is they are willing to learn without having a failure. You have to be introspective. You have to be self-critical and analytical. I think we are that kind of organization, but we can always get better. We should never be satisfied." Achieving success in the dynamic environment the Corps faces today is challenging in itself, but the Commandant is also facing some unique circumstances in his own chain of command, which has suddenly become very Marine-heavy. General Joseph F. Dunford is serving as the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and both the Secretary of the Navy and the Secretary of Defense are Marines. Richard V. Spencer, the current SECNAV, served 5 years as a Marine CH-46 pilot, and Defense Secretary James N. Mattis is a retired Marine four-star general. The Marine Corps team doesn't stop there. The White House Chief of Staff, John F. Kelly, is another retired Marine four-star general. So how does the presence of so many senior Marines in the highest levels of both the Department of Defense and the White House impact the Commandant and his day-to-day responsibilities? Not as much as one might expect. I've had a number of people come up to me excited that Marines are in senior civilian positions within the government. And to me, it's an interesting historical phenomenon. I don't think it makes the job of Commandant easier or harder. They have their view of what the Marine Corps is, or should be, or was, and in some ways, it's less difficult for me to explain things and make them understand certain nuances. But on the other side, if our views don't align... I work for Joe Dunford. I worked for Secretary Mattis before. John Kelly's the Chief of Staff for the President. Mr. Spencer is a former Marine and is now our Secretary of the Navy. He's going to be a great partner, but he's got his job. The Secretary of Defense has to do his own job. The Commandant's got his own job. Everybody's got to do their job. The idea of everyone doing their job resonates with General Neller. That's what Marines do, right? We help each other out. We solve problems. And we make it work. We do our job. We all have jobs to do. That's the mantra for me. Do your job. One constant in any meeting or engagement with General Neller is stories about Marines with whom he served. Another is his sharp wit. His stern visage masks a droll and dry sense of humor that can take people by surprise when they meet him. At the Marine Corps Association and Foundation's 2017 C4 Awards Dinner, General Neller related a story about meeting a junior Marine at Camp Pendleton while visiting the maintenance area at 11th Marine Regiment. When the General asked the young Leatherneck about his job, the Lance Corporal started discussing GCSS Marine Corps, Global Combat Systems Marine Corps, a family of systems used to track logistics and supply information. The general asked the Marine to slow down, saying, "Hey, Marine, I'm still a Mim Sassy guy." The Marine informed the Commandant that those systems were long gone, and GCSS Marine Corps was the replacement. The Commandant's response? Some major probably got a meritorious service medal for changing those names. At the same event, General Neller made a point of recognizing a veteran Marine who he had last seen in 1988 in Panama during Operation Just Cause. His pleasure in renewing old bonds and reveling in the camaraderie of being among Marines was palpable. He finished off his speech lamenting that while the other services often sing their service hymns, Marines simply stand at attention. Asking the crowd, "Remember when you were at recruit training? What did you do at night? You sang the Marines hymn." As the crowd's fervent applause and rambunctious oohs finally died down, General Neller continued, "I think someone ought to tell the Commandant that we should sing the Marines hymn. So, we're going to start tonight." Hundreds of Marines, most wearing suits and well into their post-Marine Corps careers, jumped to their feet and began singing a very enthusiastic version of the hymn. A career infantry officer, General Neller was commissioned in 1975 after graduating from the University of Virginia. He has served in all three divisions and each Marine Expeditionary Force. His record includes participation in Operations Just Cause in Panama, Restore Hope in Somalia, and Iraqi Freedom, where he served as the commander of 1 MEF Forward. In addition to serving with the Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers Europe, and on the Joint Staff as the Director of Operations, he has commanded at all levels, including serving as the commanding officer of both 3rd Light Armored Infantry Battalion and 6th Marine Regiment, and as the commanding general of Marine Forces Command, Marine Forces Europe, and Marine Forces Central Command. He has also served as the president of the Marine Corps University. His assignment leading the Corps' academic commands was especially appropriate, given the example General Neller has set throughout his career as to the importance of reading and writing as forms of professional development and education. He has written numerous articles in the Marine Corps Gazette since he was a captain. His An Open Letter to the Young Turks in the November 2011 issue is especially thought-provoking. The Commandant reads the Corps' professional journal each month, and when he finds an article interesting, he has been known to track down the author. In 2 of the last 3 months, because of articles written, I felt compelled to call the lieutenants who wrote them and ask what the hell they were talking about. And he jokingly continued, "So if you're feeling a little froggy out there and want to have a conversation that will never be recorded, join the Marine Corps Association and write an article for the Gazette, and we might become close personal friends." He is sincere in his desire to hear from Marines, whether in person or via formal writing submissions. I would encourage anyone to write. We have a lot of junior Marines writing for the Gazette, and they have a lot of good ideas. They're used to communicating on social media. For them to write a letter or article is not a whole lot different than posting on whatever venue they will use to communicate with their friends, just as long as they don't use the emojis, he said with a sly grin. I think the Gazette's an important venue as professionals to exchange ideas constructively. I think one of the best articles was written by Brute Krulak, Soldier's Dilemma, Marine Corps Gazette, November 1986, about how to dissent if you don't agree, General Neller added. If you don't agree, you are compelled as a professional to express your disagreement, but you should also have an alternative course of action, General Neller said. And differing opinions should be expressed appropriately. You should be able to do that in a professional, tactful way so we can maintain our professionalism. Despite his busy schedule, the Commandant makes time to read while traveling to bases throughout the Corps and even while working out. If I'm going somewhere, I read a book. I use the elliptical trainer and have my Kindle so I can read. I've been reading more while I'm on the thing and I'm doing my old man PT. After attending the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation Award ceremony in April, he made sure to read several of the award-winning books. I had already read White Donkey by Max Girardi because I already had a relationship with him because I'm a big Terminal Lance fan. But I read Notes to the Man Who Shot Me and I read We Will Hold. His voracious reading is an influence on his goal of reviewing the Commandant's professional reading list each year in order to ensure the right blend of both classics and new books is consistently maintained. He considers Lieutenant General Victor H. Brute Krulak's First to Fight, An Inside View of the Marine Corps, as one of the classics which will be on the Commandant's professional reading list for years to come. But he also recognizes that there is much more to be gained by reviewing other more recent books which can provide fresh and more in-depth looks at Marine Corps history. Mark Bowden just wrote the book on Way, 1968, A Turning Point in the American War in Vietnam. He's writing it from both the U.S. perspective and the view of the Vietnamese and the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese. There's so many good books out there. Both the Commandant and Sergeant Major Ronald Green, the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, have made numerous trips over the last few years throughout the Corps and have met Marines who have not been shy about telling the Corps senior leaders what they think or asking questions about future deployment. A lot of the younger ones want to know when they're going to get back to Afghanistan or Iraq or some other place. We went out to see the 31st MEU, and one of the Marines asked me, "What's the chance of us going to Korea?" said General Mellor. He thoughtfully reflected on the last 10 years when the Marines knew it was only a matter of time before they were sent to Afghanistan or Iraq. It was easier to gain their attention and focus. It's a little more challenging now, but my answer to them is, you joined a warfighting organization, so your job is to get ready to go to war. If I called you tonight at midnight and said, "Pack your trash, grinder 6 o'clock, here's the gear list, we're leaving," are you ready to go mentally? Is your family ready for you to leave? He specifically mentioned the Marines on Okinawa. If you're in the Pacific, three of the five challenges to the government of the United States and peace and security of the world are right there. Terrorism, the Democratic Republic of Korea, aka North Korea, and the People's Republic of China. If there was ever a time when you have to be mentally prepared to go, now's the time. The Commandant, however, is not eager for war. As evidenced by his two combat action ribbons, he's been to war and has experienced its horrors firsthand. "Am I happy I don't have to go to El Takadam or El Asad surgical and to watch you in the emergency room, split from your tail to your head while some guy is trying to put your ass back together or put your pieces back on you? I am. I do not miss that." He emphatically repeated, "I do not miss that. So be careful what you ask for. I respect and understand and love them for wanting to go because it can't be any other way. But at the same time, they have to be professional enough to know that there are no big oorah-oorah thing, because if you go, people are going to get hurt. So keep your eyes wide open and pay attention." His concern for Marines, whether they stay in the Corps for one tour or serve until mandatory retirement, is evident. "I've told Marines for the last 2 years since I've been in this office, my goal is for you to be successful in your life. That's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to work hard to achieve that success. The job of leadership is to facilitate you achieving your goal of success. I've never met anybody that joined the Marine Corps to not be successful." Marines today, like their forefathers, must face adversity head on. If nothing else, the Marine Corps teaches you, you're going to have adversity. Hey, look, I've got to figure this out. I can't quit. It's just not an option. No surrender, no quit. His recent trip to Guadalcanal to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the battle was on his mind as he said, "I'm sure the guys at Guadalcanal, when they were out there being attacked by the Japanese, you know they didn't really like being out there, and there wasn't enough food, the bugs were bad, they all got malaria. So what are you going to do? Fight. You can't quit. It's not permitted." He's also quick to remind Marines that the Corps' strength is knowing that every Marine will be there for each other, regardless of ethnicity, race, gender, or religion. Remembering his days as a young lieutenant in the 1970s, General Mellor remarked, "I'd been in the Marine Corps where we hated each other because of the color of our skin, all sides, and we were killing each other, literally killing each other. Such hatred cannot be tolerated, especially given the possibility of combat operations in the near future. If I'm laying out there in the street wounded, I have to know that you're going to come out there and get me. And if you're out there, you have to know that I'm going to come out there and get you. No questions asked. Whether I'm a man or a woman, I'm black, I'm Asian, I'm Latino, or I'm white, or whatever I am, Hindu, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, Wiccan, it doesn't matter." He continued, "You're a Marine. All the rest of the stuff gets checked at the door. You're a Marine, you're an American. It can't be any other way. That's been our strength." While encouraged about the Corps' future and confident in the operational abilities of Marines throughout the Corps, the Commandant does have some concern about some destructive behavior displayed by Marines in recent years. "The thing that concerns me are the things that Marines do that are not productive to their success in life or our operational capability. We lose about 150 Marines a year through accidents, suicide, bad luck, sickness. They don't achieve their objective in life, whatever that is. And I think that the primary contributing factor is alcohol. If I could change anything, I would have Marines be more responsible and respectful of their use of alcohol. I'm not telling them not to drink. They're grown men and women. I trust them. But we all need to make better decisions. If I said to you, I'm going to give you some advice that I believe has 100% chance of improving your success on this earth, would you be interested in taking that advice? And the answer is yes. What is it? You need to be more conscious of how much alcohol you consume. I have yet to have somebody come up to me and tell me how drinking a lot of alcohol is going to make me better in any way, shape, or form. And I've tried to convey that message, the idea of protect what you've earned, protect what we've earned. Every negative behavior that I've seen Marines do, whether it's sexual assault, domestic abuse, suicide, illegal drug use, the great majority of all those events start with alcohol abuse and alcohol. The Commandant and countless others are standing by to make sure that Marines succeed. You earn the title Marine, so you're in the club. We all have equity in making sure you're successful. There are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Marines out there that want to help every other Marine, so you're not here by yourself. Get your head up. There's a solution to every problem. Let's define the problem just like you were taught. Come up with a course of action. Execute the plan and move on. And the sun will come up tomorrow and you're still a United States Marine. There's no other option. And while he is proud of his Marine and confident that the Corps is postured for any contingencies in the future, General Neller cautions Marines that they cannot rest on their laurels. Everyone understands that it's going to take every Marine to be smarter, more cognitive, more adaptive, more disciplined, more sober and industrious, willing to commit like we always have. We need a little more from all of us. Define the problem, execute the plan, work hard, be prepared to go. Simple words with a strong message from a no-nonsense, direct commandant who leads by example and diligently does his job.